Let's open our time of worship this evening by singing in our white camp book, number 33, entitled Meditation, O Thou in Whose Presence My Soul Takes Delight. Let's sing it together, page 33.
Yeah.
as we sang so much in that song about Jesus being our shepherd, dear shepherd. How many of you know Psalm 23 by heart? How many people learn that by heart in any translation? One time in church, I asked the folks, I says, who knows such and such a scripture by heart? A lot of folks raised their hand, and all of a sudden, one of our dear ladies raised her hand and says, I know it, but not in English. She was from Africa originally, and she knew it in far, I don't even remember which language it was. It wasn't Swahili, but it was something like that. And I said, would you quote that for us? It was beautiful to hear. So it doesn't have to be just in English. But, you know, I thought as we were singing, I says, that song is meditation. Let's meditate. Let's quote together and think about the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm. This is not our talk for this evening, but let's say it together, shall we? I'll help you, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Good Shepherd. Thank you, Good Shepherd. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's sing page 371, too, shall we? Another song about Jesus being our shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Page 371. Let's sing it all together.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He maketh me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters.
Staff me, come forth still.
We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Jesus, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. How our good shepherd can transform someone, isn't it? How he can change a life. How many people here can honestly say, since you've come to know Jesus, your life was transformed? Life was changed. Well, I think pretty much most of us. Some of us are a little shy, but I believe and pray that probably all of us can say that since we've come to know Jesus, our life has been changed. We're going to believe that for those girls and that one boy. In the cottage. I was laughing to myself. I said, boy, one boy. There he is. Well, you know, many that Jesus came and touched, changed throughout the scriptures. One of the things that often, not always, but often accompanied that was a change in name. They got a new name. You know, it's interesting. I just happened to be reading recently about some people who changed their name. They changed their own name. You want to hear a couple of these? These are interesting. Do you know what one of the most popular name changes is? Anybody know? You're going to be surprised.
John Wayne.
Very good, brother. But Tom, but thanks for playing. You know what's one of the number one requests for name change? You're going to be surprised. Santa Claus. Santa Claus. People want to change their name to Santa Claus. Yeah. Well, there was another one. Just these are silly, but there's a point to this. There was a fellow in the Midwest. Went before a judge. Judge turned him down. But you know what he wanted to change his name to? Somebody. He wanted to change his name to Somebody. He had two reasons. He always wanted to be somebody. The other reason, this is true. I'm not making this up. This isn't a joke. And the other one was, you know how they always say, well, somebody once said? Well, he wanted to be able to take credit for what somebody once said. And the judge looked at him and threw him out. Smart judge. Not all of them are quite so smart, are they? Or so wise. Then there was another one that I thought was really unusual. It was a fellow, he was a teenager in California, and he read this sort of countercultural book. And he was so impressed by it. Now, I'm saying this rather facetiously, but still a true story. And he was so impressed by it that he wanted to adopt the name of that book for his own name. And you know what his name became legally? Trout Fishing in America. He changed his name to Trout Fishing in America. And they interviewed his father about this. You know, I guess they were waiting for the father to say, yeah, my son has always been a little crazy, you know, a little nuts. I'm not sure I know him. You know? But you know what he said? He said, I love trout. And I support trout. I'm still not quite sure if he was serious or not. That's what he said. At least he didn't say I'm going to have trout for dinner. Maybe they thought that as well. Only in California, I guess. So I don't know. But you'll like this one, Ashley. Little girl also was talking to one of her friends. I don't know if they are having a sob session, Kirst, but she said to her friend, you know, I'm so glad my mommy named me Ashley. Little girl looked at her and goes, oh, why? She goes, because that's what she keeps calling me. Little kids, you know, they think funny. Good thing my mother named me that, because she keeps calling me by that name. If I had a different name, I wouldn't know the answer. Isn't it funny how kids think? are we having a little explanation party over here? Shall we sing a song, take the offering, and come back to you guys later? takes after her grandma, doesn't she, Sister Lisa? I didn't mean to turn this into a joke session, but it's good to have a little laugh sometimes, isn't it? But you know, there were people in the Bible that had name changes. Had powerful name changes. Not, you know, Trout and all this other crazy stuff. But can you think of some people in the Bible that God changed their names? I mean, we could just go right through the whole Bible, couldn't we, tonight? Who said that? Courtney, there's our girl. Yeah, sure, our fellow that we looked at last night. Saul became known as what? Paul. Sure. Let me see. Let me give you a couple others. I'll try to think of some. You tell me what?
Daniel.
Oh, yeah. God didn't change his name, but the king changed his name, didn't he? To Belteshazzar. And if you read that, if we read that whole book of Daniel, you'll see there's times when the Lord changes it back. Says he's not Belteshazzar, he's Daniel. God is my judge. Good, sure, excellent. Ah, where'd that come from? Who said that? I knew it was coming from this direction someplace. Johnny, what was Jacob's name changed to? Israel. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. When God changes his name, man. I got to be careful. I'll start preaching a sermon on that one. I love that one so much. From a trickster, a con man, a supplanter, to Prince of God. One who has wrestled with God. Great one. Your sister.
Abram.
Abram. To? Abraham. See then? To Abraham. Sure. What was that?
Does it mean something different?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe, Brother John, you can check me on this maybe, just off the top of my head, Abram is exalted father. To Abraham, which means father of many nations. Not just, you know, high-ranking dad, but father of many nations. Nations, right? And did you know that Abraham's your father?
Yes. So wait, this is the Bible.
Yes. Wait. She looked at her father. Right? Because he is the father of faith. It says all those who come to faith, who are saved by faith, are what? Are descendants of Abraham, are the true Israel. The true Israel now. So in a sense, he's our spiritual father. Not our natural father. That was a great one, Julia. Can anybody think of another one?
Sarai to Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, how do you like that one, huh? Boy, I tell you, the whole family got their names changed, huh? Nobody got left out. I'm not going to leave you out either. I'm going to change your name, too. Beautiful. Boy, I met so many Sarahs today. It seemed like if I just called for Sarah, somebody would answer. Beautiful name. So popular. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. How about Simon? Peter. One other, name? Or Cephas? Remember that one? Sure. Names changed. Why? Because God had changed them. You know, I know a girl came to our church for a long time. She changed her name. Legally. She didn't change anything silly. Don't worry. This is not a joke. She didn't name to some other, you know, recreational activity like, you know, we heard. But she just didn't like her name. So she legally changed it. She just changed. Well, you know, that doesn't change who you are. You still are that same person. But when God changes your name, right, Brother Steve? When God says, no more are you called, you are now going to be called. That's something. And that's when God, by his Spirit, comes in and makes a change, makes you different, changes who you fundamentally are. He doesn't just whitewash you. Doesn't just walk, you know, clean you up a little bit, you know, Josh, brush you off a little bit. Okay, that's looking pretty good. Let's just straighten out that collar a little bit. Right? No. What does he do? What does it say in Jeremiah? The new covenant? What will he give us? A new heart. In Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we see about that new covenant, that stony heart. So I'm going to take it out and give you a heart of flesh. I'm giving you a new heart. Right. I'm not going to just write my laws on tablets of stone, you know, right up here. I'm going to kind of carve it in so everybody can look at it, make sure to obey. He says, nope. I'm going to write it in your heart. You're going to write it in your minds. They're going to be a part of you. And you're not going to obey my laws just out of sheer, you know, grit and determination. It's going to flow. It's going to flow. Because I'm going to change who you are. And you're going to live out of that new heart. I try to tell our folks in church that so often. I say, don't shortchange the new covenant. Don't shortchange the new covenant. You know, we hear so much people who are saved. I'm saying, you know, I'm still a sinner. And yes, sin doesn't give up on us. Sin pursues us and wants to drag us back. But I said, what does the new covenant say? It says, I will give you a new heart. When we are saved, when we are converted, when the Holy Spirit works in us, what happens? That old heart is taken out. And we're given a new heart. And it's important for us to recognize that. And don't forget that. You have been given a new heart. You have been made new. If anyone is in Christ, they are what? New creatures. Some translations, which I even like almost a little bit better, says you're an entirely new creation. It's like you've been recreated all over again. That's what the Lord does for us. That's what he puts into us when we come to him under that marvelous new covenant that Jesus instituted by his blood. That's what we ought to live for. And when Satan comes and says, I'm going to get you now. Here I come. You say, no, that's not my heart anymore. I've been given a new heart. That's who I am. You know, we read, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He doesn't give up too easy, does he? But if you resist him and say, I've been given a new heart, you have no part with me anymore. That old heart is gone. It's been taken away. Like we sing about our sins, you know, it's been buried in the sea. You know, buried in the sea. That's good enough for me. Right? In the sea of God's forgetfulness, we sing. Been given a new heart. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Let's let him continue to work on that heart. Make it stronger. You know, when somebody gets an organ, you know, transplant. My wife, for a while, her mom was sick and was on a list to get a new liver. She ended up not getting it. There were some problems. But, you know, when you get that new organ, it takes some time to get in there and to, you know, kind of mesh with the other parts of your body. And there's a possibility that the body can reject it. And all. It's quite an in-depth, entailed kind of a thing. It's really, really something. But after a while, if everything goes well, that thing begins to move. That heart begins to pump. Those lungs begin to fill. And that air is filtered, or that liver, or those kidneys, or whatever it is. Or sometimes even the eyes. Those things begin to work. And a whole new life is brought to that individual. That's the new heart. That's the new heart. God wants us to live from that. He wants that to grow, to become stronger, to become the dominant force in your life, by his Spirit, what he creates within us. And as we allow him to do that, what does he do each day? More strength, more strength, more strength, more of himself. That heart becomes more powerful, stronger, and all of a sudden you find those other things, those sins that just always, you know, grabbed you so easily. Just took that little thing and boom, you know, there you went again. All of a sudden you'll realize, wait a minute, those things are falling off. Those things are starting to, you know, like Christian's burden, you know, they're just starting to fall away. They're starting to drop off one by one. That heart just sees God, loves God, wants to serve him. That's what the Lord is doing. That's how he changes our lives. And how is it done? By his Spirit. It's all done by his Holy Spirit. So interesting, as we prayed today, Brother Petfield, that you quoted that verse, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That was one of the verses we focused on earlier in the week as we're looking at the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. It's done by his Spirit. So believe. Don't shortchange the new covenant. Jesus died to institute that so that you and I could have and receive that new heart and live from that. Out of the abundance of the heart, we read, the mouth speaks, come all sorts of things. If the heart is sinful, if the heart is wicked, what will come out? Wickedness. You've been given a new heart. You've been given a new heart. You've had a heart transplant. Those of you who have received Jesus, live from that heart. Allow him to each day by his Spirit strengthen that and give you what you need so that you can walk pleasing in his sight. And who knows? Maybe he'll say, well, your name used to be, but now I call you I'll let you fill in the blank. Could we sing a song, Brother Jeff? Let's sing 464, A New Name in Glory. Of course, it's just a slightly different angle, but it's still good. Let's sing it. Let's rejoice. There's a new name written down in glory. Guess whose it is? Mine. Oh, it's yours too? Let's sing it, all right? A new name. I was once a sinner, but I came. Notice, I was once a sinner. Here we go. I was once a sinner, but I came. Pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. I was humbly kneeling but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. You know, we're going to see tonight in a town, city called Antioch, the Christians got a new name. They have a new name. Knew what to call. Didn't know what to call them. So they made up a new name, a new word that most people probably around the world have heard of. And it's stuck. It's stuck. You know why? Because you know what the name means? You know what it meant? Christ-like. Like Christ. Who knows what that name was? It was Christians. They were first, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Why were they called that? Because they were like Christ. Isn't that marvelous? Now we're not just saved, but there's more to be like Christ. Let's sing that last verse, Brother Jeff, shall we? In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sin the Lord that you have a new name written down in glory. Thank you, Lord. The Lamb's Book of Life. And for that new name. That new name. You have been made new. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.